Amen. We invite you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. The reason I'm inviting your attention to Genesis chapter 48 is because Hebrews 11:21 refers back to and is based on Genesis 48. I'd like to read for your consideration verses 1 through 6 and verses 13 through 16. Genesis 48, verses 1 through 6, and verses 13 through 16. I'm going to talk to you this evening about Jacob's faith. Jacob's faith. Genesis 48, verse number 1. It came to pass after those things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance." Now moving to verse 13. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, and the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads," that is Ephraim first and Manasseh second, although Manasseh was the oldest and Ephraim was the youngest. "Bless the lads and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Jacob was a man of tremendous and admirable faith. Our text from Hebrews 11:21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. This text from the great faith chapter of Hebrews, wherein Jacob and a multitude of others are enshrined, gives a brief but pungent description of Jacob's faith. It speaks of the warranty of his faith. It speaks of the worth of his faith, and it speaks of the worship of his faith, the warranty of his faith, the worth of his faith, and the worship of his faith. It is significant that Jacob never saw the promised land given to Israel. In fact, he saw the reverse. His family was forced to Egypt because of famine. Yet he continued to worship God, ever believing and passing on God's promise, even, and this is significant, even as he was dying. The warranty of his faith is herein seen. When he was dying, the warranty of Jacob's faith is especially seen in the fact that his faith was still active. His faith was still alive. His faith was still operative even as he was dying. So many things in life do not help us in death. When death knocks on the door, their warranty expires. The warranty of riches expires in the face of death. The warranty of power and prestige and prominence expires or expire in the face of death. You know, usually various products that we purchase have warranties. You know, some cars have a warranty of 60,000 miles or 5 years, whichever comes first. The Hyundai has one of the best, if not the best, automobile warranties in the industry, because their vehicles are warranted for 100,000 miles or 10 years. Of course, now a lot of folks drive 100,000 miles in a lot less than 10 years. And of course, there are a few folks, when 10 years will have expired, they still will not have driven 100,000 miles. But your average person probably would hit 100,000 miles long before 10 years expires. But when it comes to life itself, and when it comes to spiritual things, the warranty of faith is forever. So it is still good when we are dying. In fact, faith in God will make death a glorious experience instead of a horrible experience. No wonder the psalmist exclaimed, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Not many folks, unfortunately, are genuinely interested in faith in God, but when they come to die, nothing else that they have will be of any help to them at death. But if you have genuine, authentic faith, it shines even in the presence of death. Jacob was dying when this event took place. He had lived a long life upon the earth. Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. We see in his blessing both of these sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, we see the worth of his faith. You see, faith enables one to bless others. Jacob was able to pass on tremendous blessings to two of his grandsons, and he could do this because of his faith. The one great essential for blessing others is faith. You may think because you do not have a fortune that you cannot bless others. But if you have faith, you can bless others in a great way. In fact, nothing will bless others as much as your faith. Jacob blessed his family by his faith much more than by his fortune or by his fame. Faith is the greatest blessing that any man can give to his family. Faith is the greatest blessing that any man can pass on to his children. The Bible school curriculum at Gospel Advocate, published by Gospel Advocate, designed for students from 2 years of age through the sixth grade, is called Heritage of Faith, because it is designed to help you as parents to pass on a heritage of faith in God's Word, and especially in the New Testament. All of those things that pertain to life and godliness, we endeavor to pass those things on to our children, passing on to them a heritage of faith. Jacob passed on a great heritage to his children. Question: are you passing on a great heritage to yours? Is your faith such that it is a blessing to your sons and to your daughters and to your grandsons and granddaughters? Are they going to be blessed spiritually by virtue of you living out the reality of your faith? Will your grandchildren still believe what you believe? Will they still practice what you practice? Will they still be members of the Church of Christ? Will they still be faithful to the Lord? Will they still be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will your grandchildren have defected from the faith and have abandoned the Lord and have long since left the Church of Christ? That's something for us to think about. One of the saddest things that I've ever experienced was a conversation that I had with the son of Levi Kennedy. Many of you know Levi Kennedy. He was born in Hickman County. He was a contemporary of R.N. Hogan and Brother Stewart and Brother Keeble, and some of the other old pioneers, a stalwart figure among gospel preachers. He evangelized Chicago and had a tremendous impact on the south side of Chicago insofar as establishing and strengthening the Lord's work in the Windy City. Highly respected, a great gospel preacher. But the thing that disturbed me, the thing that troubled me greatly, was the fact that his son has long since abandoned membership in the Church of Christ, is no longer a member of the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. No longer embraces undenominational New Testament Christianity. And I asked him, I was interviewing him for an article that was to appear in the Gospel Advocate magazine, 100th 100 most influential men in Churches of Christ for the previous 100 years, and Levi Kennedy was one of those men. But I asked him, I said, Brother Kennedy, do you think you'll ever come back to the Church of Christ and be a part of the Lord's church like you used to be? He thought for just a very split second, and he said, no, I'll never come back. I'll never come back. It's my understanding that he's a Presbyterian presently, and I don't think his daughter has ever been a member of the body of Christ. But I have to think about the great faith that was exemplified in the life of his father and the numerous souls that he was instrumental in saving, the many gospel messages that he preached. Somehow, somewhere along the line, there was a failure to meaningfully and permanently pass on and transmit his heritage of faith to his son and to his grandchildren and great-grands and generations yet unborn. But the worth of your faith is seen in the ability of your faith to bless your family, to bless your children and grandchildren, and to bless others as well. But especially, if at all possible, do everything within your poor power to pass on your heritage of faith to your children. We've considered the warranty of Jacob's faith and the worth of his faith, but we consider now the worship of his faith. Jacob worshiped, leaning upon the top on his staff. The idea is that Jacob was weak. He was fragile, frail, and fading fast. You see, the report had come to Joseph that your daddy is sick. And they recognized that he wouldn't be with them much longer. So he was weak and frail, almost bedridden, finding it difficult to walk and move about. His eyes had grown dim, but he continued to arise and worship God, believing in the promised land and promised seed until the very end. You see, faith worships. Show me your worship habits and I will show you the quality of your faith. Many folks talk boastfully of their faith, but when it comes to worship, we can justifiably conclude that their boasted faith is more talk than anything else. Note from our verse that true faith will worship in spite of difficulties. Jacob was infirm and had to lean on his cane, worshiping God, but he still worshiped. Folks give a lot of excuses for why they do not worship. Folks find all kinds of reasons and seek to justify themselves in missing worship for any little thing. But Jacob, as he was dying, frail and feeble, fragile and fading, worshiped God leaning upon the top of his staff. That's a wonderful example for us. He continued to worship God, ever believing and passing on God's promises, even up to the very end, even up to the point of death itself. What about your faith? Is your faith similar to Jacob's faith? Is your faith as strong as Jacob's faith? Is your faith such that it will prove to be a blessing to your family, to your children, your grandchildren, your wife, your brothers, sisters, others who are closely related to you, and others with whom you have meaningful relationships? Is your faith a blessing to them? I trust that it is. If you're here today, tonight, you're not yet a Christian, you can become one, and you can get in a position where you will be enabled to pass on a personal heritage of faith to your family. You can become a Christian through obedience to the gospel of Christ, believing that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he was resurrected on the third day, believing that he's made salvation for you possible by paying the cost on the cross for your sins and mine. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And arise from the watery grave, ready to live a brand new life. And ready to live in such a way that you'll be able to bless others by and with your faith. If you're here and you're already a child of God, but you've not lived in such a way that your faith is capable of meaningfully blessing others, why not rededicate your life to the Lord through repentance, confession, and prayer, and begin anew from this point onward to be a blessing to others as you pass on, as did old man Jacob, old man Israel, a heritage of faith to your family. Will you come as we together stand and as we sing?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching.